Welcome to the Candy Valentino Show, the podcast for founders, investors, and entrepreneurs, where we have honest conversations about what it takes to grow your business, build more wealth, and create financial freedom.
Hey guys, welcome back to a very special episode of the Candy Valentino Show, as today we take you back on a little journey through some of the most inspiring, the most thought-provoking, the most game-changing moments of our show this year. Since the rebrand and the launch of the Candy Valentino Show in just October, it's been such a ride. We've shared stories, we've laughed, we've learned, we've had amazing guests, and together we've talked about the real story behind not just building businesses, but how to create a really rich life. And so as we stand on the threshold of a brand new year, I wanted to revisit some of the highlights that have shaped this journey. As we say farewell to last year, let's remember the wisdom and the laughter and the joy and the breakthroughs that we had together. So here's to a remarkable new year. Enjoy.
Can't make everyone happy. So it doesn't bother me at all, because like, I can't make everyone happy. Am I happy? Yeah, I'm happy. Well, then who cares what they're saying?
Yeah,
I don't personally. Now, a lot of people mistake that, because of course I want to be liked. Of course I want everybody to like me and think I'm funny and all this and all that. But if they don't, I'm not affected.
Right.
Other people, they crave wanting to be liked and needed and respected. And if they're not, it destroys them.
Yeah.
That's because they don't realize that they're an option. Like, you can choose you to be happy. What do you think people would say if I said, I'm number one in the world to me? I'm the most important person in my life. How does that sound to you?
Well, I think other people would be like, oh my gosh, is his kids not important?
I can't believe he said that.
Yeah.
I'd hate to be married to that guy.
Right. Yeah.
That's my point. Like, dude, right. They're wrong. They're incorrect. You should be the most important person in your life.
And when you think about it, like, anyone, especially people that have kids, if you're, like, I don't know about your family situation, but like with me, if my dad would have been happier, of course your childhood's happier. If your mom's happier, your childhood's happier. So you become then a product of that environment. Because otherwise, if you grew up in a horrible environment where nobody is happy, then you just perpetuate that for years until you realize that you're repeating a pattern. But if you grow up in a happy environment, then you're going to go seek the happy environment. So I love that you said that, because it's important. It's not selfish. You're actually doing it for other people that you care about so that they can have a happy life and a happy experience. That's what I'm hearing.
Well, 100%.
Yeah.
So again, I mean, like, dude, think about it. If you really, really want to care so much about others, care for yourself more.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, if you want to get more, coincidentally, you give more.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. Like, it's so ironic. Like, to get more, I have to give more? That makes no sense. It is a little bit, you know, ironic, but that's the truth. You want more, give more. If you want to have other people like you better, like yourself better.
What makes you happy now? I mean, you've achieved all of this. You've built the big company. You seem like a really happy guy. What are you doing all of this for still?
Well, because I'm still not where I want to be. Just like, you know, if I get up in the morning to head to the bathroom, I don't stop in the kitchen.
Yeah.
I continue to go where I'm going. Why? Well, because I don't want to piss in the kitchen. But, you know, at the end of the day, I have more to do. I'm nowhere near where I wanted to be. I naively assumed I'd be so much farther ahead than where I'm actually at. Now, a lot of people will say, well, Brad, that's being a little bit selfish and ungrateful and blah, 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 blah. But again, it goes back to what I said earlier. I don't care what they're saying. In relation to the potential, I'm nowhere near where I should have been, could have been, and need to be. So when you say, what keeps me going, dude, I'm going here. And until I get there, I'm not stopping unless I die. And if I die, someone will be like, oh, it was so sad. He was never happy his whole life. I'm happy every day.
Yeah. But you can take it one baby step at a time. Don't have to believe 100% or go for it 100%. You just need to be in like the 51% mode to start planting the seeds, to start taking action, because confidence is built over time. But it's unbelievably important that you are visible, and here's why. Every day that goes by that you're not making yourself visible to the people that you can help is another day that those people are going to go buy from someone else, or partner with someone else, or listen to someone else, or follow someone else that isn't as good as you and doesn't care as much as you, simply because you're too insecure or worried about what you look like or what you sound like or people judging you, so you're not putting yourself out there. I'm thinking about everyone that's listening to this right now. Imagine if you didn't have the courage to be seen and create your book or this podcast. People that have been so helped by you, that have gotten amazing strategy and built wealth and have built the lives of their dreams because they listened to tactics and tools that you gave them. Imagine if they didn't have that because you were too scared to be seen.
Yeah.
So it's not about you, the person that's listening. I'm talking to you right now. It's about HOPE is my favorite acronym. Help one person every day. So every time that I get afraid to put myself out there, which I do, and I'm actually marketing a book right now, which is the most vulnerable thing in the entire world. It really is. It's a whole nother level for me. And I've been seen on every level that there is. This is a new level. So I'm using this acronym every day. And when I wrote the book, I was using this acronym because I'm thinking about the one person. Mm-hmm. It's not about me. The reason that we get so insecure or so afraid is because we're worried about what we look like or what we sound like, or if we're good enough, or if everyone's going to like what we have to say. When really, if we're talking to somebody and giving them information that they need, it's not about you. It's about that other person, that one person that maybe needed to hear what you had to say that day.
Yeah.
So when I wrote my book, you'll read it and you'll read it. You'll understand what I'm saying because I'm talking to one person while I'm writing this book.
How can they do it better?
So goals are something you're trying to achieve. And I think of a goal as something where you either want to do something new or make a big change. You want to think about the specific end results. And I think that the easiest way to do it is to really be thinking about what's new and what's different. What's new and what's different? What I'm finding for most businesses I work with is their big priorities are in the strategic goals. That, because everything keeps changing. You know, it's like that we can't stop the external world from changing.
Right.
And so as that keeps happening, right, the technology keeps changing and what your clients really want keeps changing. Your competition keeps changing. Just everything keeps changing. And so, you know, those strategic goals are super important.
I love that. Yeah, I mean, change is inevitable. I don't know whose quote it is. Change is inevitable, but progress is not.
Oh, so
he loves these.
Yeah. This is weird, right? That people hear about it, but don't do them often. So I get up in the morning. I get up at 5:30. At about 6:25, I wake my son up. We pause it as of late because of a certain reason with him. But it's like for a year and a half, we've done this straight until the last like 3 weeks. And it's just because I got to get him to understand why he's doing it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to force him to do it. Right? But 6:25, 6:30, we're out of our house. We go to the top of a hill near our house. This hill you can see around for miles. We do a little circle, breathe the day in. We hold hands and say we're grateful for. We pray to God, thanking for what we have. We're grateful for these things. We thank who gave it to us. Walk back down the hill of a cold plunge, 48-degree water. We go into our neck for 2 minutes. It's never fun. It's never fun.
Yeah, it's so good.
It doesn't get any easier. Oh my son goes, well, is it going to be easier? No,
it doesn't get any easier, man.
Every day.
It's so good, though.
Every time. And when it gets cold, we just go to the pool. So like we just recently drained it. We're going to be using a pool because when a pool gets about 55-ish, we can do it.
Yeah.
And then it'll get colder over time. Then from there, we go into the area where the gym is at and we lay in the ground. We hold like a little kind of space and we put this phone down. We do a lead meditation on YouTube.
Okay.
A woman named, I don't know, Boho Beautiful or something yoga. It's the only one we've tried a bunch. She's the one.
Boho Beautiful. Look it up.
So we go, we do it. It's a lead meditation, 10 minutes. Yeah. We get up. I give him a hug, tell him I love him. We're off for the day. About 43 to 45 minutes, okay, depending on how fast we're up and down the hill. But that's the routine. And so it gives us time to kind of get through hard stuff, grateful for the day, what we got going on. We get to embrace each other, like have some time, and we're off. But it centers me.
Yeah.
Like, and so I've actually felt a little wonky with us not doing it.
Mm.
The thing for him is, in any relationship, you can't want more for someone than they want for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I started this, first off, forcing him to do it, because he's too soft. In a sense of like, he wants to play football, mm-hmm, and football's not a soft game. And I think sometimes as parents, we rob our kids of our hardships, their hardships.
Yes.
So I feel like his life is so privileged. I need to create and make up, you know, and manufacture some kind of difficulty. So I did it. And after a while, I got to the point, I was like, he was just kind of like, he didn't enjoy it. And I didn't want to cause problems, so I stopped for about a month. And then he goes, Dad, can we do it again? So I'm like, cool, we'll start doing it again. We started doing it for the last like year. And then recently, like you could see, like he wasn't engaged. And I go, dude, what is going on? Is you want to do this? Yes. I said, why are you doing this? He goes, I don't know. I go, let's pause so you don't know why you're doing it. Mm. So we just were paused. So yeah. when he finds out why he's doing it, we'll kick it back on. I still get up at the same time, but it's kind of putz around the house. You know, I don't want to get the water by myself. I probably will,
yeah.
But I'm giving him that window for him to kind of make it his idea. Mm-hmm. I want him to want to do it.
Yeah.
But I love doing it. It's time to spend with him privately. Like it's good to have that yeah. kind of relationship connection, but that's the routine.
That's yeah. cool. Yeah. And you know, it's so interesting too with kids. It's like people think parents, especially well-intended, good parents that care about their kids, they yeah. want to give them everything.
Can't.
But you don't realize that you're robbing them of the one thing that they actually need to be successful in anything in life,
yeah.
which is adversity. So that them to learn that they can overcome any challenge that they're ever facing.
Yeah.
So I love that you guys are doing the hard things.
Well, hopefully
he'll come around.
Yeah, he'll get there. I'm the parent people don't get some. So I coached kids in football this last mm-hmm. year, and we legitimately had parents send anonymous emails of like, Coach Trucks is so mean. And
oh
like, you know, he berates the kid. I'm like, first off, I don't berate anybody.
Yeah.
And nobody in my life, do I? I said, yeah. I'm just telling your kid things he doesn't want to hear, which is yeah. it's a tough game. Or I would ask, yeah. I'm like, hey, do you want to play? Because we have kids that go, I don't want to go in the game.
Yeah.
Why are you playing then? Right. And I got it's okay for you not to, but go find something that fits you.
Yeah.
Like, don't be here. And endure this if you don't have yeah. to endure it, right? Yeah. But if you're going to be here, I'm going to hold you to a standard.
That's right.
Before the season even started, I did a 15-minute intro, I said.
Intro.
Not freedom, though.
Not freedom.
People
Why
say,
not?
People say, because think about it. Freedom's an interesting, I feel like it can lull you to sleep. I feel like you can be free to choose a career that mm-hmm. you hate. Yeah. You can be free to be in a relationship that you don't want to be in.
Mm-hmm.
You can be free to be whatever it is and look at yourself in the mirror and go, I don't like me every day, right? Control is different. Control means I have discipline. I can control the part of me that doesn't want to do it and still get it done.
Mm.
Control says I can control my emotions in a heightened situation. Control says I can wake up today and choose, I don't want to do that
mm-hmm.
and not do that. Like I control my life to where I get to create my day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in control of my day. There's no one that can come in and go, Aunt, you have to be here at this time and do that or else, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I control my life, but I have the freedom to get a job I hate. The freedom to go do dumb stuff, right? Because freedom's not always an amazing thing. And so what I've looked at is I've gone through the different journeys. I've got friends who do a whole bunch of different cool things, millions of dollars and billions of dollars. And some are happy, some are unhappy. And I go, the congruency between the people who are at the most peace and joy, they found control.
Hmm.
They have a way to gauge their life. They can control the parts of them that they, you know, they're the hard ones to control. Because I got it too. Like, I like to eat stupid things,
mm-hmm.
you know, like candy bars. But I can control myself and not eat it. Mm-hmm. I feel good about myself, right?
Yeah.
I can control what my day looks like and then do the day and then get back to the day and go, well done, Aunt. I like you. Yeah. I love you, right? Because what happens is if you can't control yourself or your emotions, what you do and anybody does is we'll do things we're not proud of.
Mm-hmm.
We then lose respect for ourselves. If I don't respect somebody, I can't love that person.
Mm.
So I won't sacrifice for that person. And I'm talking about an external person, but it's really you.
It's really you.
So if I fall short of what my control point is, I got a problem. But if I'm free to eat what I want, do what I want, right, you'll do those things. You'll indulge at too many levels. And all of a sudden, you have no control of yourself. So freedom, peace, wealth, it's control for me personally.
I love that. And I loved how you touched on peace and joy because that's really where it's at.
That's what I want.
I think people really think they want other things. And obviously in a show about wealth and success, we always talk about that.
Yeah.
But it's so interesting that if that is the only thing you're after, I promise you eventually you'll get there. And you'll have regret.
Fulfilling.
It won't be.
It's crazy. I've done that.
Yeah.
I was chasing the things and made the money. And then who do you spend it with? What time do you have? Like, I love the fact that I just get up in my house and I hang on my wife. And I take my mm-hmm. kids to school and I come back to practice. I got regular friends that aren't like on jets all the time. We just go mm-hmm. talk about stuff and, you know, mm-hmm. go fishing. There's things that are of life that I think that people, they are enamored by. The fame, mm-hmm. the fortune, those things. Yeah. And I've been around people that have it. I've been at that level of like, hey, look at me. I play in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that it's not fulfilling, because you can be in those positions, have amazing fulfillment,
mm-hmm.
but it's not the pinnacle of life. It does if it doesn't elicit the emotions that you want to have, the feelings, it's not the best thing for you.
Yeah.
And for me, I found, like, I just want to be able to go to bed in a bed with a wife who I know loves me,
mm-hmm.
who I trust. I want to be able to go downstairs and my kids say goodbye and say hello when I come and I go,
mm-hmm.
that actually know that I'm there for them. I want to be able to do things for my neighbors, and I want to be able to like have my community feel like I'm a present person there. Like I do a lot, but like I coach an entire football team and the parents who appreciate like they got that I turned down a lot of speech money to be present with your kid on a Saturday, mm-hmm. right? And so, but I can do that. And that for me creates a different sense of fulfillment because at a certain level, all of us can get the fame and the fortune, but it's kind of like, it's called marginal utility. If I have 10 hamburgers, right? After a while, I'm indulging in hamburgers. I can eat one, still feel good, two, but after a third hamburger, maybe four, if you're a crazy person, you go, I can't eat any more ham. I'm full, right? But I want to feel good still. Mm-hmm. The next way you feel good is by giving them to somebody else who's hungry.
Yeah.
So at a certain point in my life, I'm like, I'm good. I got what I have. I could retire right now if I wanted mm-hmm. to. And I have peace in my house and I have a joyful environment. It's all great. And I go, the next thing that's going to make me happy is, can I give that to somebody else somehow? Or can I create a path and show them how to do their own dark work to get that level for their life? Mm-hmm. That'll make me feel good. Not that I'm saying I don't want to accomplish things for myself. I still have big goals and dreams, but I'm not less than without them, if that makes sense.
That's so good. Thank you so much for coming in and and just sharing this. It's been an honor to just have you here to struggle. I know this is tough for loving parents that are doing their best and want their kids to have a better life. But struggle will teach your kids valuable life skills that will help them accomplish anything. You don't have to just take my word for it. Of course, this is something that I did. I didn't have a lot handed to me. So of course, I feel that I can do anything because I was able to make a lot happen because of the struggle, because of the adversity. But you don't have to take my opinion for it. We've actually got all the studies and research to back this up. So I want to share with you some of the research that was found from Drew Heckman, PhD, and Amanda McLean, PhD, from the Boys Town Center for Behavioral Health. They shed some light on why failure and adversity can really be a great teacher, saying, in quote, your child will emerge stronger, develop better coping skills, and learn how to make good quality decisions and accept consequences for poor decision, end quote.
Going back to the people who've achieved some sort of success, there's many reasons as to why they might not be happy with what they're sitting with. One can be they never thought about the through part. So getting a business to a certain level and then selling it. I work with a lot of people who have just sold a business for $250 million and it's the exact same as it's the exact same candy as my Olympian standing on top of the podium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like they feel so empty because so much of their identity is the person who owns insert name of business.
Mm-hmm.
Because their entire identity is wrapped up in that. That's why there's an identity crisis with an athlete who's about to retire or why they stay longer. It's because they don't know what that next chapter is going to be. Who's that next person, version of me? And so that's what I'm trying to come in and do is build up that so that they don't backslide into a lot of very poor behavior. And I mean, I don't know how many pro athletes that, you know, the wealth lady Candy Valentino works with, but you should be catching a lot of different sports athletes in their career and after their career so that they're not a part of the 68% statistic in whatever league that is bankrupt or broke within 2.5 years of exiting their sport.
That's the stat, 68%.
Yeah, it's super high. It goes up in some different leagues,
mm-hmm.
right? NFL, it's higher.
Yeah.
NHL, it's lower. I want to, if there's one thing for people to take away from today is really take a look at your goals that you've got and think about to and through. What's the difference in the way that I'm setting things for myself? Is there a difference between have I goal set to something, starting a business mm-hmm. or through something? Something that I like to share with people on stage, Candy, is I don't look at myself as an entrepreneur necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's an identity. I'm going to use identity as a useful way to help people show up on a specific, in a role that they have or a specific field. But identities can also trap us.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had a career and I'm having a career mm-hmm. in business. I'm just transmuting it through entrepreneurial ventures. So I look at myself as being entrepreneurial.
Mm-hmm.
You had said something earlier about a lot of people say that they want something, but they don't want to do the work on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I say that's someone wants the noun without the verb.
Yeah.
A lot of people want the best-selling book.
Yeah.
They don't want to write the best-selling book or be the type of person who can actually now put content into a book that makes it a bestseller.
Right.
A lot of people want to have a business. They don't want to do the execution work of running that business, launching that business, right? Because it's challenging.
It's hard.
It's challenging, But it's also one of the great forcing functions for personal development if you know that that's what it's there for. Mm-hmm. So what I know about successful people is they typically have the best tools that they can draw on when in a time of whether it's crisis or challenge or opportunity. And that alter ego model is a great model for you to grab to help you move through the difficult or challenging part of shedding an identity to step into a new one for yourself. So does everyone need the alter ego? No, of course not. Mm-hmm. Still buy the book though.
And so I really challenge a lot of business owners to actually double down on their messaging and their branding and figuring out what is it that they stand for? What are their values? How do they want to show up for their audience? How do they want to help their audience solve problems? And being okay with their customers taking longer to make those buying decisions and not writing them off when they don't purchase in the first week. Because old school marketing used to be, if they don't buy within a week, they're dead. They're mm-hmm. never going to buy. And that's just not the case anymore. My average customer takes over 30 days to make their first purchase with me. And if I ignored them, my business would be half the size.
Yeah, I love that. I love that you know that too, because the KPI, like that's obviously a KPI that you are measuring all the time, that you're watching all the time. Otherwise, if you were all of those old school digital marketing, I always would hear the same thing. You email them for a week. If they don't buy, you either like scrub the list or, you know, just send them a couple value before you sell to them again. And so it's so good to know that. And everyone that's watching and listening right now, if you do not know what your average sales cycle is, that should be one thing that you should deep dive on and try to figure that mm-hmm. out to see if that's changing to Alex's point and it's taking a little bit longer. Now, how does that apply to long form? Because the hooks that we talked about and getting the conversion and grabbing attention, I mean, I notice some of our analytics are showing that it's like 5 seconds, like 4 to 5 seconds. If we don't capture them in the first part, they're not even getting halfway through. How do you find, you obviously have a massive YouTube channel, how do you find that that also applies or doesn't to long form and YouTube?
Yeah, so the way that I kind of think of my business is I think of creating as many touch points as possible. So I have my YouTube channel, but I also do short form content. I also post on LinkedIn. I think we post on Twitter or X or whatever it's called now. The way I see my business, and by the way, the average customer of mine interacts across 34 touch points on average before they make their first purchase. That has tripled in the last 15 years. And so again, we tend to think of this old school linear model of marketing. And then I've heard so many people complain that their marketing's not working. And I think it's because we're used to looking at just these very step-by-step metrics, and we're not actually paying attention to what else are they doing in your universe. And so for me, I tend to think of everything that I create on my YouTube channel, Instagram, all my social accounts, all of that is very top of funnel. And I'm like, if we can just get more eyeballs on our stuff, even if they're only watching for 5 seconds, you know, we try to test different hooks. We're now doing new intros in our short form video where like I make a blooper or I say something and then we cut really quick because people are interested in real. Mm-hmm. They want to see who is this person who's, you know, on this glossy background and with the nice captions and how do we show up in a way that makes people go, oh, this is different. I haven't seen mm-hmm. this before. And so knowing that while it may feel like you're creating all this content and, oh, you know, this one didn't get as many views or that didn't pop like I think it would, trusting that if you are getting interaction, that is still one touch point that's going to ultimately help your customers move closer towards a purchasing decision with you.
All right, guys, as we wrap up this very special episode, I just want to take a moment and thank each and every one of you, our viewers, our listeners, our clients, our book buyers, our event attendees, the followers on social, all of you. Thank you so much. Your support, your engagement, your feedback on the Candy Valentino Show has been such a joy for all of us. And we're so grateful for each and every one of you. And so from all of us here, Happy New Year. Here's to a new year, new beginnings, a whole new level of growth, success, love, and happiness. We appreciate you being here. Thank you. Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to this episode. And if there was something that you loved or you had a specific takeaway, share it and tag me at Candy Valentino. And if you haven't yet, grab your copy of Wealth Habits everywhere books are sold. And for upcoming events or ways to stay connected, head over to candyvalentino.com. That's all for today. Thanks so much for tuning into the show. We'll see you next time.